a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Okay. Hello, my name is Dan Lederman, State Senator from Dakota Dunes. I represent District 16, and I'm the Assistant Majority Leader of the Senate. This week, we, as the Senate, held a lot of bills, bill debates on the floor, and most recently, we talked about road funding. That was yesterday. We also took on some pretty big issues with direct wine shipment and ABA therapy for children with autism. This session so far, we're at the halfway point. We'll be coming up on crossover day here on February 25th. So things will start ramping up next week as far as trying to get the bills out of the House of Origin. One of the priorities of this session have been our youth. We've passed bills that have dealt with juvenile justice reform, and we also passed bills with Jolene's Law, which seeks to have a committee year-round that meets to find new ways to combat child sex abuse. In committee, we were able to hear about Jolene's Law's task force and the good work they've done. And the Senate passed a bill which streamlines the process for reporting sex abuse cases and giving the victims more dignity and giving the prosecutors more tools to be able to complete their jobs. Yesterday, we heard two bills that dealt with the death penalty in state affairs. Both were defeated. The House side did the same. And other than that, the Senate looks forward to more discussion this session on a variety of bills. And if you have any questions, we'll stand by.
My name is Mike Valley, State Senator from Mitchell, District 20. Oops.
There we go. That help? All right. My name is Mike Valley, State Senator from District 20. That's Aurora, Girald, and Davidson County. The first half of the session has been very productive. I think most people need to understand that, you know, a lot of times the first few weeks we go through a lot of agency bills, and they're usually not as contentious as we get into the session because they take a lot more consideration and time and to work through the committee system. I do want to make a comment about task forces. You know, I think when I first came here, the task forces, people says, well, it goes to a task force and that'll be the end of it. And we're not seeing that anymore. I think people are working very hard on those task forces and are coming up with some reasonable propositions for the legislature to continue. And when they consider them, that doesn't mean that they're going to take exactly what the task force came up with. But I look at just this time. You know, we talked about the wine bill that's been fought several times. We put a task force together. We got some folks to agree. The artists and distillers, Jolene's Law task force. That's going to lead me into Senate Bill 1, which was the Highway Needs and Financing Committee. We took that one on the road. We went to six different communities: Yankton, Sioux Falls, Watertown, Aberdeen, Belfouche, and Rapid City. And we took testimony from, we had about probably had 60 to 120 people that came to each one of those meetings, and the amount of people that testified, I think we had over 120 people that testified. And so if you think of when you're going to a hearing here and people are, you know, if someone gives a testimony and then someone comes up and says, yeah, me too. Well, these folks were not me tooers. They were the they actually had issues and they talked about it, then we had five other meetings in Pierre, and so they were information packed, intense meetings, so the committee came up with a proposal, and as you know, the governor has since come up with a proposal. If you read through the governor's proposal, you'll see a lot of the language that's in the committee proposal. So the governor took a lot of those. We didn't fund it the same way, but he took a lot of the things from the committee. So that task force really had a real value. And so far that bill, it's kind of a hybrid of both the governor's proposal and the committee's proposal. And I'm real proud to have been chair of that committee, and I can't say enough for the 15 people that took part in that committee. Everyone was there, and we took that process, and everyone agreed with the need. Everyone. We didn't have anyone that disagreed that there wasn't a need and it was defined. We may have had a little differences on how to take care of that need and to fund it, which you're always going to have in the legislature. But the two things, and then I'll get off this, the two things that both the governor's proposal and the legislatures in that committee looked at were state roads and rural bridges. And the reason is we have good, objective, empirical evidence on what the need is there. If you look at the state roads, every mile of that road, the DOT has records of. So they know when it was last chip sealed or an overlay. They've got record counts of how much the traffic is, so they know that. And secondly, they've got a vehicle, they call it the spider van, that goes down the road with sonar and radar and whatever in there, and it can tell what actual condition of that road is. So you can tell. And the rural bridges, the reason we looked at that is, by federal law, every bridge in the state over 20 feet has to be inspected every 2 years. And it's not a subjective one. It's either done by the Department of Transportation or it's done by an engineering firm that's been hired to do it under certain specifications. So all that information is at DOT. We know what the condition of those bridges and what has gone over time. So when they say this is the amount of bridges we have that are structurally deficient or functionally obsolete, that's an absolute number. And right now, 28% are structurally deficient and 3% are functionally obsolete. So that means when you're driving in the country and you're going over a bridge, every third bridge has a problem. So those are the two major areas that we decided to put money in. We put money other ways, but those are the two things that the committee decided probably need both the committee and the governor. That's where the emphasis was put. What else did we have? An issue that came up this morning, because we'll probably get into it, there's a discussion of gun bills this morning, and they always bring up some questions. One was that anyone could carry a gun in the Capitol that had a concealed weapon permit and that took certain training. And another one was to, if the sergeant of arms wanted to be armed, that they could be armed. And the first one failed, the second one passed. So that just kind of gives you an idea. But it's got a long ways to go before it's done. What was good to see was the Department of Public Safety and the sponsor of the bill talking, and that's what we need to do. We need to keep things like that moving. So I think the Department of Public Safety does an excellent job here at the Capitol. I've never felt unsafe in any way. So I don't think that's really the issue.
Slide.
I'll jump in. My apologies for belated for being late. Don Hager, District 10. I'm just filling in for our chamber today. So we're reviewing the week. One thing we did here in the House is we passed a bill that redefines or expands the definition of veterans. And what it does is it recognizes the public service that our National Guard members perform in uniform for the state of South Dakota and for the for the United States. I think it's long overdue, and we're proud to acknowledge that. It doesn't extend veterans' benefits at all, because of course we can't do that. But it does acknowledge that they've served our state. So that certainly is a piece of legislation that we were proud to send over to the Senate. Trying to think of any other highlights here. Of course, as Senator Valley mentioned, road funding is a topic of daily, almost hourly conversation, and we appreciate his yeoman's work on that. And it'll be interesting to see after the pot quits being stirred, what the stew tastes like. So we're looking forward to that. We did yesterday stop an effort to remove the property tax limitation that was brought forward by a fellow representative from Brown County. And back in the 90s, under Governor Janklow, the legislature put a limitation on the amount of increase that can occur in property tax levies in an effort to hold the line on taxes for our real estate, our property owners, and our citizens. And there was an effort to remove that, and we stopped that. So sometimes the best action is killing legislation, and that's what we did yesterday. So with that, I guess we're probably open to questions, unless Senator Lederman has comments. Maybe I missed those. I'm sure they were eloquent beyond measure.
Could we talk a little bit more about the property tax bill? I know there's history there of why the cap is there, but I know in committee I heard testimony about the need for local counties to get more funding. Can you talk about the need and why you guys ultimately decided not to get rid of that cap?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and I'm glad you asked that. Basically, if the property taxes are the primary property tax revenue is the primary funding for county governments, and in addition to some other elements, units of local government, but primarily for the counties, and they're the reason that this legislation was brought. Now, by way of background, primarily for most counties, not all, but for most counties, they look at two major spenders. One would be law enforcement costs, including jail costs, cost of housing prisoners. So that's in some counties, that's kind of a big deal. In most counties, the major expense, in particular the rural counties, the major expense from a county government is road funding related. And so the argument against the removal of the limitation, in my mind, this year was we're addressing that road funding issue in another package. And so there really wasn't a reason, particularly if that's one of the reasons to remove this limitation, there wasn't a reason to do that this year because we're going to address it elsewhere.
Do you see, I think this bill's been brought before the legislature several times before. It's never gone through. Do you see any compromises coming there in the future, or maybe not this year, but changes in how we do our tax structure? Is that needed? Do you think there really is a need as far as what the counties are saying and the townships are saying?
Thank you. I'll weigh in briefly, and then I suspect maybe the senators may have a comment as well. But the there are some real needs on the county level. In some cases, my home county, Minnehaha County, for example, has some issues with law enforcement costs and the housing of prisoners. I mean, so there are some real needs. Now, this was not the vehicle, and I don't know necessarily what the right answer is. It's not an issue we'll resolve this session. I'm pretty confident in saying that.
I mean, you talk to counties. I don't care what the part of government it is, or you talk to any individual or any business, they always say, if I just had more money, I could do this, that, or the other thing. Whether it's our own personal budget, I mean, there's a lot of places I'd like to travel too, and do. And if I just had more money. And that's also true of governments, and they're always trying to fulfill their obligation to the people, and always trying to find maybe a better or more things they can do. And I think by having the cap, one of the things we have obviously forced them to do in that sense. I mean, they can opt out. They can opt out if they want to. So that's a perfect example if they need more, and some do. But if they, you know, it makes you more, what I say, makes you want to look at the priorities that you have for your counties. You know, if you have more money, then a lot of times you can do other things, but it forces you then to make those priority decisions. And if you want to go beyond that, you can opt out, and if it's a great idea, it probably doesn't even get referred. So I think that's something that we also need to take a look at.
Do we have any questions from any of the callers on the line?
One last thing, then, since you're here, Senator Valley, can you? The road funding has changed. It's going to change again. Can you talk a little bit about the differences, maybe, in the two bills? You don't have to go through extensively of you know, each one, but it's obviously different from what the governor started with and what you started with. Can you tell me what's going on a little bit right now, and then? Also tell me, are we closer to a compromise? Are we closer to the end piece of legislation?
Well, two things I'll say right from the get-go, and I've told this to the body, I think, a couple times yesterday in my responses. What I do not want us to do is be like our federal cousins, that if we don't get exactly what we want, that we take our marbles and go home. That's not an option here. How long have they known that Social Security and Medicare are actuarially unsound, and the deadline, depending on who you talk to, you know, is between the late 20s and early 30s, and they don't do anything? That's where we need to be different. We know where we're going. I mean, we can see the charts. Everyone has seen them. For instance, our state roads are 2% poor, going to 25% poor in 10 years at the same funding. And when they're poor, you got to dig them up and start over. So we know that's not a good scenario, because then your fair roads go from 9 to 27% in that same time. So that is not good for our commerce. Our number one and two industries are agriculture and tourism. And you can't, what you don't want is to have some columnist or AAA saying, you know, you don't want to go through to get to the Yellowstone, give a different route than going through South Dakota because the roads are either under construction or in bad shape. So we don't want that. And I think what we need to do is concentrate on the end goal. Here's where we need to get to, and just how we're going to get there. The differences between the two bills, on the state roads, if prices stay the same, it's kind of like tomato. The committee had where they had a larger down payment and then a half a cent a year. The governor's program goes 2 cents a year on gasoline. So, you know, it's just a different way of taking a look at it. On the local bridges, we had some different funding mechanisms that a lot of people didn't like, and so they were subsequently dropped because they didn't feel there was enough support, and the ag organizations did not support those. And so subsequently there's less funding for the rural bridges than what the committee had envisioned, but we are still using that same apparatus that the committee came up with. And in order to get to that fund, two things that have to happen. One, the county has to have a wheel tax, and secondly, they got to have a five-year plan. And to have a five-year plan is that they should have that anyway. But we figured in order to get the money for the rural bridges, they would have to, in order to access that fund, they would have to have a plan. And when we say that some people are concerned about that bridge fund is only for rural bridges. Okay, it's not for state bridges. The further difference, there's a lot of things that are the same. The excise tax on when you buy a car going from 3 to 4%, that's the same. The 10% increase on license plates is the same. A little bit different differences between the farm trucks on how far we raise them to the to be close to commercial rates. And that was changed in several different avenues, so that's going to be an influx as we get to the end. The committee had a deal where the counties have the option of going to from 4 wheels to 12 wheels on a wheel tax, and that's in both bills, and the option to not the option but the in both bills, the Department of Transportation has to come to the legislature each year and say, here's where our roads are at today, and here's where they're going to be in 10 years. And we have a goal set out there, and are we meeting that goal? And if we're not meeting that goal, what does it take to get to that goal? Both bills have said that's what we need to do. So there's a lot of similarities in the bill. You know, the things that dropped out would be like the dyed diesel was a concept that's dropped out. The fee on hybrid and electric vehicles has been dropped, and the committee felt very strongly about these things. But that's the way it goes in this process. We instead of doing it by a ad valorem, we went with a wholesale price of gasoline. But you know, like I said, it's tomato in that regards. But I think the important thing to remember is, let's not get mad at if we lose our amendment or whatever happens. Then take our marbles and go home. The important thing is we come up with a decision on how to fund our roads for the future. So that's in a short term. That's kind of the differences, and I want to focus on what are the same. And there's a lot in both bills that are the same. In fact, if you read it, you read sections, it's just like a cut and paste out of the committee's bill.
Do we have time for? Or is that RQ?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd like to add that I'm very proud of the process. I got the opportunity to listen to the debate in the State Affairs Committee, and I have to commend members from the House, members of the minority party in the Senate. Amendments have been brought. Amendments have been approved. Changes have been made. And what I'm especially proud of is the ability for the legislature to work. And one of the comments that was made before by Senator Valley was about our members of Congress and their inability to work. And I think that our state Senate and House have shown that everybody has a voice here in this process, and everybody gets a chance to express what they feel is the best for the state of South Dakota. And those voices have been listened to, and we've made those changes to this bill. This bill is a good example of how our process works. Most recently, in the State Affairs Committee, we capped amendment brought by Senator Sutton from the Democrat Party, capped the length of time that we would have the 2 cents gas tax in place. On the floor of the Senate, we had very good debate for almost an hour. I think we debated just on one or two amendments. And in the end, people's voices were heard and the decisions were made, and we've left an indelible mark on that piece of legislation that will now head over to the House. And I expect our House members to also do a good job of listening to both sides of the issue, both sides of the aisle, to make the best decision for the state.
If I may add, that was a bipartisan vote. There was the ones that, I mean, there were Democrats and Republicans for it, and there were some Democrats and Republicans that were against. So this was not a partisan bill in any way, shape, or form. That's what we need. We need to work together, and that's the important part.
You know, and I'll just also jump on the bandwagon there and just to talk about how proud I am of this legislature and how proud I think our citizens should be of how the process works here in South Dakota. We make things happen. We don't let partisanship stand in the way of good policy. And so I just want to thank my my fellow senators here, and I just want to express my my gratitude and just confidence, I guess, that we have a system that works here in South Dakota.
Thank you.